Hello, this is the Angry GM, and what you're listening to right now is the start of the supplemental Q&A portion to the proofread aloud I just finished proofreading aloud called But I Digress... Structure. And now that I have finished stumbling and stammering my way through that, I am ready to stumble and swear and shout and stammer my way through some audience questions, and I am looking to the Discord right now, and I already have a question from Chris Aor. Whose name I do not like pronouncing, by the way. There's just something about the Sayor that... Sayor. Like, could you switch... You know what? You're Chris Sore now. I'm switching the O and the A. Sore, like a bird. Or Chrysor. Chrysayor. Nope. Oh, no. I don't like it. Nope. I don't... I'm going to call you Bob. Okay. Bob asks, you mentioned that maps and flowcharts... I'm still in Swedish chef mode. You mentioned that the maps and the flowcharts can help you describe scenario structures, and they're also good tools to help us organize gameplay and story structures. No, they are not good tools to help you organize gameplay and story structures, because maps and flowcharts do not depict gameplay and story structures. I mean, okay, to some extent, I could see using a flowchart to sort of diagram gameplay structure, but story structure really just is very different. And like insofar as a flowchart would be a wobbly line, yeah, but then even then, I wouldn't, you can draw, yeah, like I said, they tend to be different shapes. So no, I don't think that that would be super useful. Then again, as I noted in the article, I really don't want you trying to plan this stuff out to such a degree that you feel like you need to diagram your gameplay structure. Okay, if you're a game designer in a video game development studio and you're building the next great game and you're doing the pre-production work, then yes, by all means, diagram the hell out of your gameplay loop. But if you're designing a campaign for you and your friends, just narratively describe it on a piece of paper. That's really what you want to do. And as far as like the mapping the dungeon, you do that because you have to map the dungeon. It's just that when you're actually making the choices about what room leads to what room and whether there's a critical path and, you know, whether this room should have a combat in it or whether you should just try to have one combat boss fight throughout the entire dungeon that will constantly harry your players without considering what the dungeon is going to be like if they kill it the first time they meet it, and then discovering that your scenario design for that scenario sucked, and now you're stuck with it for 4 sessions, hypothetically. Also, I'm stretching this out to let Caladrev finish typing. You people really need to learn to type faster so that I have another question to lead into, because I hate having to hit the pause key. Oh, but Proselis said I had like 30 minutes left. Caladrev stopped. He just gave up. Okay. Caladrev is typing. Caladrev stopped typing. Okay. Anyway, somewhere in there is the answer to your question, Bob, so enjoy. Okay, and now we have a Caladrev question, a question from Caladrev, which I suppose would be a Caladrev question. Is gameplay structure one of those things that's like, I just created this adventure, oh hey, look, that's interesting, it's in this neat kind of structure, but not something you examine before the adventure is created? No, once again, the whole thing is, look, this, I guess, would have made more sense if I'd followed talking about campaign vision with this instead of doing this first. But I okay. It's not the sort of thing that you discover after the fact, but it is also not the sort of thing that you plan out rigorously. Okay? Here is the basic idea. When you start planning a campaign or adventure or whatever, you sit there and you think about what is it going to be like to play this game or adventure or campaign? How is this going to play out? You don't have to plan everything in every excruciating bit of detail or anything like that, but just like, you know, what's the, you know, how's the game basically going to play out? And if you're aware of structure, if it is a thing that your brain knows and just sort of imparts onto things, as you're planning your game, the little unconscious part of you that gets structure is going to say, well, you know, you should consider having a boss fight. Like, or like, oh, there's nothing to really top this off. Like, what's the event that's going to top off this scenario? Whatever. Because obviously you don't plan a whole campaign in one go anyway. You plan the broad strokes of a campaign, and then you go back and you fill in the pieces as you need them. I certainly didn't sit there and design the five or so dungeons that make up my AD&D campaign. I just said, well, and then there's going to be five dungeons here that the players can tackle in any order. To gather the five MacGuffins that they need to do the thing. And I can't say any more than that because my players tend to hear these things, but they've at least gotten that far where they know that that's the second act now of the campaign. And the thing is, like, if you really, 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 really do know what you're talking about and you're really good with this stuff, I guess that's a little bit of a humble brag, but whatever. You can sort of sit back and think loosely about structure. You can say, you know what, I kind of want to pull this off, and you know, I want to do something similar to the structure of this, which is kind of how I started, because I was looking at Legend of Zelda Link to the Past and saying, I think that's a really good structure for a game. And then then the next step even there is, can you narratively describe in prose what you mean when you say the structure? And then can you break it down and say, okay, what is this doing gameplay-wise? What is this doing narratively? And what is this doing scenario-wise? And, you know, how is it accomplishing the thing it's accomplishing? Okay, it's one of those things that you want to get used to analyzing in other stuff so that when you decide to write your own stuff, it will happen. Okay, that's why I'm encouraging you to think about it. Think about the structure that your games have already followed, and think about the structure of the stuff you really like. Okay. But again, the point is, there's nothing useful in this. This is just me talking about something. It's expanding on something I wanted to expand on. And also absolutely yelling at people not to, like, say, okay, you know, I want to run a 4X campaign. Can you give me advice? And it's like, no, because basically you said, I want to paint in watercolors. Like, you know, okay. Actually, you didn't even say that. You said I wanted to make a painting. I want to make a painting of flowers. What do I do? I have many, many questions before I can help you. Also, I'm still torn between whether the dungeon delve structure or the 4X structure is the best structure. Okay, I don't have another question. I'm going to pause. I was thinking out loud while I was staring at the no questions coming in and wondering why I even bothered to do this live. People could make up questions even if you know the answers to them, just so I have something to talk about. But I found myself stammering and stuttering a little bit through things, and that's now the third time I've used stammering and stuttering today. And then I realized I should unpause and let this be recorded because I was probably about to say something that might be remotely useful. I was pointing out that really the only takeaway from this is just to, you know, get used to thinking and talking about the structure of your favorite things and as an activity doing that. And then I wanted to point out that one thing that many people do not realize is that board games actually have structures even though they don't seem to. I mean, obviously, board games have a gameplay structure. Many board games have a gameplay loop. Like, you look at Magic the Gathering, it has a gameplay loop. But in terms of things like scenario design and even narrative design, they are present in board games as well. In fact, many board games do follow either... Oh, that's what I was doing. I was talking about the three-act versus the four-act structure, and which might be... Or the act versus 4X structure. N-act versus 4X. Yeah, let's say N-act versus 4X. That's the title of my next article. N-act versus 4X. Which is better? In terms of both guided non-linearity versus open world play. Yeah. See, this is what happens when you do the jargon thing. You just start making nonsense. That was all nonsense. It sounds like I was saying something, but it wasn't. It was nonsense. Except I was saying something, and it is an interesting question, but one for me to explore another time. But anyway, my point is just that many board games, even if you do not realize it, have narrative structures and scenario structures in addition to their gameplay structures, even if they don't seem like the sort of game that would do that. Like, for example, it's weird to think about a scenario structure in a competitive game or in, you know, in like a non-quest game or a non-campaign style game. And yet in many games there are, and I'm struggling to think of examples right now, but more easily, it's actually more easy to point out examples of games that have like a 3-act or a 4X structure to their, well, this is another interesting thing, is there's parallels between the different types of structures. So like, you, as has been done by many clever video game designers, including Adam Millard. Adam Millard actually drew some amazing parallels between the narrative 4X structure, the narrative Kisho Tenketsu structure, and the gameplay 4X structure, and its utility in scenario design. I shit you not, he put all this together. It was very well done. The point is that many board... I don't remember what the point is. I'm literally just babbling now to fill time. Am I saying anything useful? Is the chat even still here? I don't know. Okay. Oh, Chris Ayer changed his name to Bob. Or their name to Bob. Hello, Proselis. Hi. Okay. There are no other questions coming in, and I am just babbling incessantly, making no amount of sense, and entertaining only myself. So I'm going to cut this off here and say thank you, everybody, for listening. And next week, new article, podcast thing. Happy February. Happy upcoming March.